In May of 2017, the diocese is on track to ordain 10 men to the priesthood. So they're a long ways in their formation, so it's likely it's going to be up there. Maybe it'll be a few short of that. And then in May of 2018, the diocese is scheduled to ordain 12. So we have some huge classes coming up. And about 2 to 3 years into seminary, or before you're ordained, you're starting to think about and plan for your first Mass, right? It's like a couple who's planning for their wedding, right? A venue, announcements, reception, everything that's involved with that. Speaking of that, I just received an invitation to a wedding yesterday, and on the top of the title of the invitation, it said, "Wedding or Marriage is a Crucifixion." I'm going to think about that one for a while. Interesting. So, well, what priests are doing, they're thinking about their first Mass, and they're preparing and composing a prayer card or a holy card. So every priest at a ordination of first Mass, they'll have a holy card or prayer card that they give to everyone, and there's an image, you know, some kind of art on the front, and then, you know, information about the day of the ordination and first Mass. And on my first Mass card, I had the image, Rembrandt's image of the prodigal son placed on it. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's very popular as far as religious art goes. But that Rembrandt's image of the painting of the prodigal son is powerful in the way it conveys God's mercy, but also, for me, particularly the way in which we can reject God's mercy. Because, as Pope Francis says, both of those sons rejected the Father. And so you have, in that image, you have the younger son who is disheveled, destitute, the heel of his shoe is shorn off, and so his feet are exposed. He looks horrible, and he's kneeling and begging, basically, before his father. And you think about the background of the story, so he has his total inheritance, and he blows it, all right, on loose living. And he gets to the point where he's hanging out with Gentiles, so something extremely forbidden, and he's tending pigs, which was an unclean food. And so he's not eating with the pigs, eating pig or hog or pork. He is tending the pigs, and he's actually eating the pods that the pigs are eating. Okay, so he's hit rock bottom, that's what you might say. And then the elder son in that picture, he's standing by a pillar and observing, and he's dressed, you know, and to the nines and perfectly, and he's, you know, orderly, but the anger is fuming within him. And he's observing what's going on, and he's in disdain, as we hear in the gospel, that he became very angry. Both of these sons depict the ways in which we can separate ourselves from God. St. Catherine of Siena, she titles these ways as sensual or sensitive self-interest or self-love, and spiritual self-interest or self-love. So sensual self-love is when one basically builds their life around the pleasures of this world. So she says, the eye of the mind focuses on them, and they take them as their sole object. So that's all they're thinking about. How do I gain more money, right? More honor. All of the sensual pleasures, temporal pleasures that the world offers. And so that's what they're consumed with. What are we going to be doing tonight, right? And, you know, you think about, like, parents, this can happen with your kids in sports. And, like, they're thinking about how, you know, the honor of them excelling and doing wonderfully. And so that's, our whole lives are just consumed with that. That's what he's talking about as far as this kind of sensitive self-honor, being glorified in the eyes of the world, right? And living according to the senses, which is really not too bad. It's not as bad of a way of living or a vicious way of living as the elder son, because eventually you're going to hit rock bottom, right? If you're living according to the flesh, right? And then you're going to be ready for recovery. You're going to be ready to turn back. The danger is that with the elder son. Here we have the elder son who is what? Who's done everything right. He's obeyed every command of his father. And he says, I've been serving you since my youth. And the actual wording is that I've been slaving for you, which is very telling because it says that he relates to his father like a slave. So he's doing these works, but he's not living out or identifying with himself as a son of the Father. And so St. Catherine of Siena talks about these kind of people are people who live out of spiritual self-love. So they do all the right things, right? They go to Mass, they practice stewardship, they pay their taxes, they're orderly, but they only do it to the extent that it provides something for them. So they get something out of it, quid pro quo, right? So I see this as a priest, all priests will tell you, you see parishioners are all different levels. So you talk about living out the stewardship way of life, time, talent, and treasure. So for example, this kind of person, quid pro quo, they say, oh, you have a Catholic school, that's awesome, and it's a good Catholic school. I would love to have my kids sponsored in the Catholic school. And so they'll practice stewardship, as long as their kid is sponsored in the school, and as soon as their kid is no longer in the school, there's no more stewardship. So this is what we're talking about. You have to get something out of it. It's all in your own self-interest. And so St. Catherine says, this is an imperfect type of love. She does say, though, that it's one step on the way towards perfect love. So it's moving forward. And that's what the hope, you know, of all priests are, is that we keep moving. Everyone is moving forward to a purer and purer perfect type of love, which is to will the other for the sake of the other. So the elder father would do his work out of love for his father and being a member of that family. That's what the father's wanting to lead him into. And it's interesting, we hear about the conversion of the younger son, but we don't hear about the conversion of the elder son, which makes you wonder what happened. Because, you know, you think about sin, he's being driven by envy and anger. In Dante's Divine Comedy, in the Inferno, the devil is wrapped in ice at the center of hell, the deepest part, and he's wrapped in pride. He's just totally consumed in himself. He has chosen his way, but what Dante has is the second level of hell, right around pride, is envy, and. You're like, well, I thought lust was the worst of all sins. Oh, okay, I can understand pride would be. But envy? Well, think about in the Book of Wisdom, it says what? Through envy, all right? The envy of the devil, death entered the world. And think about what envy did already with Cain and Abel, right? So envy has an incredible power to consume our souls. And that's what happened with the elder son. And envy can get to the point, like with this elder son, we can maybe imagine the words that came out of his mouth, I'll go to hell before I step into that house and acknowledge this sinner, right? And so being attentive to this. Now, these are kind of extreme cases, right? But they do help us to assess of maybe where we might be falling at a particular time in our life. And so at times in our lives, we might be able to resonate more with the younger son. We're just interested in, you know, dollar signs and what we can consume and enjoying life, right? Or we might be living well, but there's a harsh judgmentalness that's come upon us, right? And we see ourselves thinking in that way, and we don't recognize life as a gift and how we are children of the Father. And so at this time, during this Lenten season, a lot of these readings are set up as mirrors to help us to recognize our sinfulness and to bring that sin to God for forgiveness, to reestablish and reunite us into the family of God. And so we ask for an incredible outpouring of grace that might be illuminated and might have the heart, like that younger son, to return to the hands and arms of the merciful Father.